Well, welcome and good morning. Oh, thank you. All right. That was even cheery. That's a hint, right? So, we're Mike and Michelle Barter. We have 9 children, and we've been facilitating with Wisdom for 8 years now, and we have been homeschooling since our eldest, who is 21 now, is... She did grade 1 in school, and then we came to, thank you, Paul. Then we came into the homeschooling adventure. I don't know if I need to preface why I'm so scruffy or not. Can I? Plug? Am I allowed to plug? No plugs? Okay. My time. All right. And you gave me a little bit extra. Thank you. I appreciate that. Originally, we thought we had like 20 minutes to an hour kind of thing, and then yesterday we find out we're pared down to 10 minutes, and so we're scrambling to try and... Okay, here we are. Anyway, just a plug for something that's up and coming this Easter season. Some of you are familiar with it, some of you aren't. That's the reason why I have the beard, is I'm taking part in the play Love According to John as the character of Joseph of Arimathea. And it's a wonderful experience if anybody is interested in coloring up their Easter celebration, and wanting to take part and enter more deeply into the story, you can come and talk to us at the table afterwards.
So my creative husband has written you a poem.
The Panic Button Syndrome by Mike Barter. It all starts in a lovely garden where our spirits are free and our hearts have not hardened. The bliss of homeschooling is enjoyed each day like Adam and Eve in Eden at play. But a time comes to pass when the tempter is near and he quietly whispers, "Psst, come over here. You know what's expected by the powers that be. Are you really on track? Well, let's look and see. You're never sure what grade they're in, so when you're running the race, how can you win? And here's a stress we'll add to the mix. High school is coming. Do you have any tricks? The whole world before them, where will they go? Decisions, decisions, and what do you know? Shake in your boots because you're homeschooling. It's all fluff. Who do you think you are fooling? Here is the button that needs to be pressed. Hit it hard, hit it lots. You won't feel so stressed. Houston, we have a problem here in the shuttle. The villain is trying our mission to scuttle. Dear God, we struggle with failure and strife, and we know that you would have us choose life. The temptation to panic is so very real. Please send us your grace so the thief does not steal. The hope that we have that all will be well, how we must walk and what we must tell. To those who are struggling, it comes down to a choice. Give in to fear or hear God's voice. Do not be afraid. It will all be okay if you trust in the Lord each step of the way.
So the topic of high school can be daunting, and we come with questions and concerns, even fears. And if we aren't careful, we can work ourselves up into a panic. When I looked at panic in the thesaurus, I found the following descriptive words: alarm, fear, dread, dismay, confusion, hysteria, lose control of yourself, overreact, go to pieces, throw somebody else into disarray. We have walked beside families who have found themselves in a place of panic. They felt paralyzed. Their thinking was clouded. They second-guessed themselves. They found it difficult to plan. They were plagued by doubt. But by the grace of God, they were able to move out of that place of panic and can now look back and see how God has been so faithful. Their panic was replaced with peace, confidence, relief, even joy.
Numerous times in Scripture, we read the words, in one form of another or another, be not afraid. Just to look at one in Matthew 14. Between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to the disciples walking on the water. When they saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and screamed with fear. Jesus spoke to them at once. "Courage," he said. "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then Peter spoke up. "Lord, if it's really you, order me to come out onto the water to you." "Come," answered Jesus. So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water to Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he was afraid and started to sink down into the water. "Save me, Lord," he cried. At once, Jesus reached out and grabbed hold of him and said, "How little faith you have. Why did you doubt?" They both got into the boat and the wind died down. The disciples in the boat worshiped Jesus, and "Truly, you are the Son of God," they exclaimed.
So Jesus says to us, "Courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Jesus says, "Come," and homeschool, even through high school. We get out of the boat, we walk on the water, but just like Peter, if we don't keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, we notice the strong winds, our doubts, our feelings of inadequacy. We hear others say, "You can't homeschool through high school." We feel the pressure to provide our students with a high school diploma. Maybe we, as parents and students, realize that there were things that we should have done. Maybe we should have made better use of our time. Maybe we should have chose a different curriculum. But we need to put our eyes back on Christ. We need to call out, "Save me, Lord," and he will reach out, grab hold of us, and maybe chastise us a little bit for having little faith. We need to get into the boat with him, and the wind will die down. Let Jesus be the captain, and he will take the wheel. He truly is the Son of God.
In our homeschooling, in our parenting, in our homes, we have a position of authority, we have a position of leadership that we are installed with. And it's interesting, for example, to look at Joshua when he was brought into the leadership position in Scripture. "Joshua, no one will be able to defeat you as long as you live. I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will always be with you. I will never abandon you. Be determined and confident, for you will be the leader of these people as they occupy this land which I promised their ancestors. Just be determined, be confident, and make sure that you obey the whole law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not neglect any part of it, and you will succeed wherever you go. Be sure that the book of the law is always read in your worship. Study it day and night, and make sure that you obey everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Remember that I have commanded you to be determined and confident. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go." I can comment, sure. We, parents and children, can draw something from that. If God is putting somebody in a position of leadership, then they need to be followed. And oftentimes that's the struggle that we find in our own families, where the different stages of growing. Young people tend to get into foggy areas, you might say, and not particularly want to pay attention to the leadership. But if you look at the example in Scripture, when anybody fell away from what they were supposed to do, confusion reigned. And oftentimes I'm wondering, when we take our eyes off the Lord, as in that scripture from Peter walking on the water, we get ourselves into trouble and we need help. Here's a paraphrase, a really strong paraphrase, you might say. It's so different that I call it Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of high schooling, no uncertainty will I fear. Your rod and your staff at Wisdom Homeschooling, they comfort me.
Many of us have found ourselves in a state of fear or panic over high school, moms, dads, even students. But we must move on and counteract our panic and fear with action. So, the first thing that we need to do, and maybe we've hit it home a little hard, but it's important to remember, and that is to pray. And my most common prayer, and maybe you moms can relate to this, is help! But spending time seeking God's face will help us to gain wisdom and peace.
Lining up your will with the way that it should be. God outlines, and maybe not so clearly, but essentially that we are to follow him and to listen to him. And we need to submit our will to him, much like the kids need to submit their will to their parents. And it's not saying that, speaking to the students, that you are less than your parents, although in some ways there's things that pertain. You are less mature, you are less experienced, you are less educated. But you are nonetheless a child of God. And there's an equality there. And much the same as in the workforce. When a person takes a job with a company, they submit their will to the authority of their boss so that the company can run properly. And so, students, I would encourage you to consider entertaining that in your own family relationships. And oftentimes, when things work the way that they should, everything runs smoothly, and quite frankly, the whole family unit is happier. Proverbs 3:5-6. I'm not sure why this one came out as a little song at one time when our kids were memorizing scripture. But it's always easier to remember something in song. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And he will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord. We all need to work towards that. And to avoid this whole panic button syndrome thing, we need to focus, what does God want? Most of us feel that we've been called to homeschooling. Maybe not the kids. This is where the kids have to trust their parents and trust God. Okay? But if he has called you to it, he will call you through it. We're entering, you might call it a storm. That's the way it looks sometimes with the high school years. But we have to keep our eyes on the Lord.
The second thing we need to do is to take stock. We need to remember our why. Why did we start homeschooling? And really go back and revisit that. Go and taste that excitement that we had when we first started homeschooling. And write out again why we're doing this. It will really encourage us and help us through those hard times.
We need to focus on our accomplishments. I would think without a doubt, when you have a good reflection on your life, there are accomplishments because everybody has been gifted with certain strengths. We have not all been gifted with the same strengths. And that's very clear in Scripture as well. And we need to avoid any comparing to one another because God created us as an individual, unique being. So we can't concentrate on the things that we don't have, didn't do, can't do. That's not a place where we should be going. What have we when we do take stock? Parents, especially, to be encouraged, are your kids generally of good character? Are their morals intact? How are the family relationships? I suppose to some degree, you can see what you don't want when you take a good look at society. Is the faith growing? Is it alive? How about the work ethic? Sometimes at home, we don't see what we like to see, but we've been gifted ourselves with an opportunity to see our kids working for somebody else and hearing the wonderful compliments about how good they do their work, how good they learn. That is the fruit on the tree. The struggle is usually at home. When you have it the other way around, I think we ask for more trouble. So for parents, please be encouraged and trust that God is going to send those words of encouragement to you through other people that are interacting with your children. I think it's really important that you consider that we are all in a process. We're in a much bigger picture. Whether we're looking at falling in love and getting married, that's quite a process, and staying married. There's the whole thing about faith. We come to an exuberant discovery of God, and then we go through the bumps and the dips of a faith life, trusting in that resurrection. The same for homeschooling.
Now, the last thing you need to do is take action. So educate yourself. That's why you're here, to learn all the options, or some of the options, to meet other people and talk with them, speak with those who have already been through some of the high school bumps. Choose a direction. Lay out a clear plan. And then from the plan, you can use that as a roadmap to proceed and go ahead.
Parents, it's helpful if you can become a student of your child's talents. Notice on the assessment forms, parent observation is one of the things. And maybe to some degree, we need to just sharpen up our attention in that we pay attention to our children. Where are they strong? And can we focus on that and use that as the leverage to move them along? Oftentimes, and I know I'm very guilty of that, it's so very easy to dwell on where they're not strong, and you try hammering on that.
Okay. The last thing that I encourage you is have students take ownership of their own education, especially as they come into high school and their journey of high school. Help them to discern a destination. A destination helps with the motivation. Help them to make a clear plan, to check out their options. I've encouraged my own children to draw up their own plans. It just helps them to take more responsibility for it because they've decided that that's what they want to do. I've also found it helpful if they're contributing to the assessments done with the facilitator, because then it helps them to reflect on their strengths, the areas that they need improvement, and what areas they've showed progress in over the year.
Okay, just to wrap up, looking at things in perspective, because it's so easy to get tied up into little details. Students especially, you need to understand God has a plan for you. We as parents would hope that you can decide to accept what he wants you to do, to seek that out with all your heart. Just like a car, you've heard it said, God can't steer a parked car. Take yourself out of park. At least if you're in neutral, he can push you along. All right. You need to develop your time at prayer and do what you can to seek God. This is an exciting time of life. You are called to walk on water. What are you waiting for? Just in terms of a perspective in life, I just want to read a word of encouragement that you might draw from this. A friend of ours who is dealing with an issue, and she has chosen to walk on water. I received a letter from a friend, and she mentioned she had talked with you that I might be dealing with cancer again. It's true, I am. When we met last week, I did know, but I didn't say so, because I needed you to see me in health. I've learned a lot about cancer and the mind-body connection in the last 2 years. I have a lot more to learn, but one thing that I do know is that I'm focused on life. For however long I have on this earth, I want to live every day of it, focused on what is here today, and let tomorrow's graces come tomorrow. From all I've read, when people take their focus off the fear of impending doom that the word cancer seems to bring, and place that focus on living life, life is far happier and often longer. I'm choosing my attitude, and it is peace, it is joy, it is hope, it is love. Whatever happens in my body, it's had a bit of a rough time. I am far healthier in my mind and my spirit than I was 2 years ago. I still have things to work through. I think we all do to the end of our days, and that's okay. I have a request of you. When you think of me, when you see me, if you ever think, there she is with cancer, stop that thought right there. Instead, smile and say, there she is, she's getting healthier every day. I'm not morose about facing cancer, nor am I denying the reality of the seriousness of it. I'm simply choosing happy, healthy thinking, and if it promotes healing, I am blessed both ways. Happy thoughts and happy body. I am in radiant health, and the sooner my body knows it, the more integrated it'll be. I'll leave that thought with you. God bless you.